Hello and welcome to season two of Atlanta here on AfterBuzz. It's Robin's season and today we're talking about guns, toxic masculinity, and where the hell is Erin going to live? Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Wake up.
This is the jam though, I'm not going to lie. Reminds me of my parents. It's good to be back, guys. Welcome to Atlanta, season two. We've got some new faces. We've got some old faces. We're going to kick right into it because there's a lot to dissect this week. So, Kelly, why don't you kick us off? Welcome back.
Woo!
How you feeling?
What's up, everybody? It's your man, Chaos J, back in the building, ATL, all day. Man, yeah.
Okay.
Let's do the introductions before we just get... Yeah.
Thank you. I'm Steph Sabra. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you guys for letting me be one of your hosts for Atlanta.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Thanks for welcoming me in. I'm Ivana. You can follow me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams and on Instagram at Ivana.Williams.
I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Tron Von Garcia will be back in line 2 or 3 weeks. You know his schedule's nuts. But on the other camera, we got my girl Drew. What's up, Drew?
What up, y'all? It's Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ.
Drew's going to be in the chat for us today. She'll be subbing in because all of us is busy. So, you know, that's how it works.
Okay. Oh, can I just interrupt? Welcome, ladies, to the
thank you.
Panel.
Oh, thank
welcome,
you.
Drew, to the panel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm excited.
So, guys, let's talk a little bit about last season. Since the three of you weren't here for last season, can you guys sum up just what got you into the show, what you liked about it, and maybe if you have a favorite character?
I don't know if I have a favorite character, but what, because I'm from the South, and so anytime I get to see, like, representation of, you know, like, young black people from the South, like, I'm in, you got me. So that's basically what got me in there. And then they talked about, like, food and just how hard it is to make it out of there. So I really appreciated that perspective. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, well, I love Childish Gambino, Donald Glover. I like all his work. I love to follow. I think he's a literal genius, so I just respect it. And I respect the representation, the story it tells. It brings a whole different universe to TV that we just really haven't seen that much of. Favorite characters, Darius. I love Darius. And Van, obviously, she's just too dope.
I'm a Lakeith stan, so I'm with you.
You know, obviously Darius is my favorite character because I think he's like my dream man, low key.
high key, I feel like.
High key, maybe. Whatever. But
so awkward.
I went to college in Atlanta, so Atlanta has a very special place in my heart. So you say Atlanta, I'm there, ready to support it.
That's great. So we have like a lot of representations from across the South. I'm from the Midwest. But I have a lot of family in Atlanta. We visited yearly. So
where in the Midwest?
Chicago.
Chi-town.
For life.
Okay.
let's get right into this episode. So we saw 4 robberies today. I don't know if y'all were counting. It was nuts. We started off with Curtis. We never get the name of the other kid. Curtis comes up in the subtitles. So that's how we know who he is. And kind of the most casual planning of a robbery I've ever seen on television, but also felt strangely accurate.
At first, I didn't get it because I think you and I were talking because somebody said something about an eighth, and I'm like, so how much for the eighth? Like,
yeah, we were focused on the wrong part.
Yeah,
of
and
the
I'm like, who the hell is Scooter? Like, what's happening?
But then I got it. I got it later. But I love when Atlanta does that. It's like this subtle thing that just explodes in your face, kind of, and then drops down really subtly. They just drive off. Like it's nothing.
I was low-key confused, though, that when you guys were confused by the drive-by thing, because that is, I mean, that was a thing when where I was growing up, and especially in Atlanta, to go, you know, the sketchy situations to...
I grew
get
up-
the goods. I'm not saying.
So I was in a small town outside of Chicago. Is where I grew up. Went to school in Chicago. We definitely had a kid who sold weed out of the McDonald's drive-thru. He definitely did get busted. But I've also heard of, like, neighboring communities where you get crack out of your drive-thru. You just got to know what number to say and when that person is on duty. Not so challenging, especially in a small town.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from a small town, too. Well, I'm from Texas. I'm from a small town, too. But, like, they just, you just go to their house to, like, meet them at the car wash or something like that.
Also in Iowa.
It's so friendly out there. It's just like, I got your weed. I got your meth. Just come on over, you know?
Just come through. Yeah, sit down. You thirsty?
Yeah. You want something to eat? Walk. I got some chicken for you. Like, that's why I'm, like, going through the drive thru. What the hell is going on?
I think the...
Or they get it from their barber.
Like you, lady, said, with being caught off guard, he was just so casual, like, oh, snap, like, I think we need to fall through there. So I'm just like, oh, okay, like, they trying to get some, too. I didn't know, like, we're going to fall through and tell them,
and
run
just
it.
Like, ah. I'm like, what's going on?
So we know that these are kind of surrealist takes on what we're about to see is typically what's happening in the introductions of Atlanta. What do you think we're being told throughout this introduction about what we're going to get later in the season? Because if we look at kind of what happens, not only do we get this very casual planning of robbing a store, but we have semi-automatic weapons in closed spaces. We have unknown victims, which I thought was really interesting. We were able to watch the beginning twice, and the girl who comes in the back of the comes out of the back of the car,
which
at the end
of
that
scene.
She was there. No, and you can't see her in there. There's no like huge. There might be someone.
Because she wasn't even in the house, was she?
No.
Like, they must have picked her up on the way.
Yeah, that's I'm like, who is this girl?
To me, I try not to take these scenes too literally, because for me, this girl was more about, like, unintended consequences, unknown victims. Mm-hmm. So I was intrigued by that. We go from, like, being like, oh my god, they're gonna rob this store, to, like, which is kind of funny in the moment with the panda mask and the way the blue mask is cut out and his teeth are just so white. Like, it's kind of comic in that sense. Until
it's not funny.
Until
he shoots at you, you know. It's like, oh, wow, this ain't funny no more.
Because a lot of the shootings we've seen in the show so far have been very, like large comedy moments. So the first shooting we see in episode one is, there's a dog and he's got, like, Texas on him. You're like, what are you doing, Darius? Like, what are we even talking about? And then later we see the shooting at the gun range where it's, like, more racially charged and kind of like, how do we talk to one another about race? So what lessons or theories do you guys get off of this opening scene?
I think a lot of it is just in, like, the environment and what your environment, how that creates your lifestyle. And especially you see it with each of the characters. I think it's about, like, are they going to stick with what their environment's presenting them? Like, do they go transcend out of it, or do they, like, stay in that whatever lifestyle was given to them, you know?
Yeah, I think they flip the script. Like, I think they're flipping sides. They're flipping sides from being, like, the robbers to being, like, the ones who get robbed, because, you know, now they're starting to make money. I will say that I love that, of all places, it was a Mrs. Winners.
Tell us about it, girl.
Because Mrs. Winners is the place you go when you're late and you just want some chicken, like, or some peach cobbler. Like, the fact that they kept talking about peach cobbler, I was like, yes, let them know that it's important. But also, like, Mrs. Winners are mad sketchy, so I'm glad that they did that little shout out.
The order did.
Is Mrs. Winners a place that's like on every block type of thing? Like,
it's like
it sounds like a Popeyes.
Yeah, it's like a Popeyes, like
Bojangles.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think they're
for Texas people.
The same like thing is like Bojangles and Mrs. Winners, but yeah.
Totally. Oh. You both bring up really good points, specifically about whether people are going to be able to move on and who's being robbed in this season, because we open up on Earn in the same place he was last season, still living in the storage space, and getting, like, a whole box of what looked like jeans just lifted from him. So I think you guys are right that this season we're going to be focusing on, like, who robs who, why, and how. Essentially, which we can get more into later as we move toward Uncle Will's place, which
yes.
was nuts. Tell me a little bit about how you guys feel as Earn is showing up to Paperboy's house and Darius's house, and it's like such this faux, corny, weird
yeah.
vibe between the three of them, which I'm so not used to.
Because they moved, right? But it's still raggedy. So I was like, what is going on? Because it's still so smoky in there. But I wanted to know, like, did they fall out? Like, why are they not speaking?
Yeah,
what's
the
tension?
Well, okay, so the way I interpreted what happened was him waking up to dude opening up the storage unit. I felt like we're literally picking up right where season one left off. And right where season one left off, shortly between season one and season two, I think it's safe to assume that that's when they had to deal with the fallout from the club. and whatnot. So is it possible that Al is actually mad at Darius? Because remember, Darius leaves at the end of, you know, he leaves the club. Because dude's like, he's like, dude, I was just here. Because the dude won't let him back in. So maybe he was, maybe Al's mad because he wasn't there to back them up, possibly.
Oh, yeah, I remember. We'll find
out. And he's on house arrest now, you know, along with Earn being on probation. That's kind of where my mind went with that one.
I'm not even sure what the fight was about, but I did think it was a really funny nod to kind of the toxic masculinity within the black community, where we just don't talk about our feelings. And then, like, 5 seconds later, we dab it up and we're cool, and there's no actual addressing.
Yeah, and you're like,
and
that's
you legit real, because I used to have a roommate, and we would go hard, like, I'm ready to throw hands. And within an hour, we dapping it up. Oh, yeah, let's go get something to eat. Like, nothing ever happened.
If y'all don't talk out y'all feelings, my God, that's so irritating.
Yeah. I agree. Speak on it.
Yes!
We're getting a lot of interesting roommate dynamics from the opening of those two, like, that's where dude's like clearly, like, calm and in his game. He's like, here comes my roommate, talking all kinds of mad shit that I'm not trying to hear right now. And then they're back at it. I feel like it was a really interesting commentary on how guys get over fights.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they don't talk.
They refuse to talk about it, but they're just like, I'm over it. Are you over it? We can be over it together now.
Pass the blunt. Let's
this
go.
This is not healthy. These emotions will recirculate. So, what was up with the cold sliders?
I was just about... You beat me to it, because I was going to be like, be careful, it's very, very cold. And then I was like, wait,
was
wait,
that a little fish?
Because Earn was about to, he was about to reach for it, and then he didn't. He was like, well, you said cold. Like, I don't want this.
No, I thought they were smelling like what? Burger patties, but like, was, you should
it
not.
It was. Oh, really? Because I feel like I saw, like, I felt like it was coming out a little too vertical for a burger
patty.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was like a chicken patty or something.
But he was definitely working by the stove.
Yeah, I'm like, how are you in the kitchen and the food is cold? Like, what are you doing?
And he's moving around like a chef. Like, he's moving around.
But at the same time, I mean, granted, we know a little bit more about Darius, so we know to expect things like that. But could he have just said that just to say it?
You know, why do you serve him like that? Why do you serve somebody their food on the table, though?
Yeah,
like,
wasn't even on a plane.
You give me no paper plate.
Like, I know Darius is on another plane, but usually I feel like I can follow him to, like, ridiculous places. But here I'm like, but bro... Like, you got microwave and a stove.
But
does
feel
it
like
work?
There's a possibility that he was joking. Like, when it's, like, right now, it's kind of cold outside. So, of course, at some point in the day, my corny butt will come in and be like, man, it's so hot outside, guys. And I'll say something like
sarcasm.
That. And it's like, okay, right. And it's like, okay, Kel's like, clearly it's not hot outside. Or the reverse. If it's really hot, I'm like, man, it's so frosty out there. I need to get a jacket. And yeah, I know it's cheesy, don't judge. But I'm just saying, maybe that's what he was going for when he was like, hey, be careful, it's very, very cold.
It's possible. I don't
and
know.
And,
what
we're just kind of looking too into, like, what do you mean? Like, what? How does this affect the relationship, the dynamic? It might not be that serious. It
okay,
might
I, was cold. I wasn't thinking that deep into it. I'm just mad that he set the food down and didn't give him a plate. Like, that's rude. That's not hospitality.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. In that environment, that wouldn't have bothered me. Now, if I'd have been at someone else's house outside of my like circle of friends, I probably would have been like, "So I can't get a plate."
I wish my friend would give me something with no like no plate. That's rude.
Oh, this is interesting. Tink Love Music said, I think he could have been talking about the atmosphere in the apartment.
He was just talking about atmospheres. That's
ooh,
a really
that's a good point.
Thank you.
There we go.
It's icy in here.
Had nothing to do with the sliders.
God, I love this show.
I'm still hungry, though.
What do we think about Tara? Triflin has bitch or cutie?
Triflin.
She is cute. But
Tara was the girlfriend with the
exactly.
cute hair and the like 90s
who is she?
Orange like top with jeans.
Yeah, I don't remember her before. That's what I was saying.
No.
I was like,
oh, she's not.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. That's what I'm like. So who the hell is Tara? So she's new.
No. Mm-hmm. What did he call her?
She rude as
Regina.
Hell.
Regina.
Yes.
Okay, but hold on.
And then
he's
trying to cover it up and everything.
That was
a terrible liar.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
But he did a good job. As you know, somebody that, you know, occasionally puts my foot in my mouth, I felt like he did a semi-okay job.
He did
but,
all right.
But here's my thing, though. She was rude, but did she kind of have a right to be a little bit rude? Because he did call her Regina. Think about it. If you coming over
that's
to your man's house.
Fault.
Hold on, wait. You going over to your man's house, and his friends are there, and then his friend calls you out your name.
I feel like she kind of was rude before then. I have to watch it again, but I feel like she kind of had a weird vibe about her anyway. Yeah, I ain't like that.
You go after the man, not the man's friend.
But I think, like, I hope that, you know, as the season progresses, I get to see them, like, go head-to-head, because I think that's going to be absolutely hilarious.
Riley Huey 16 in the chat said that they felt like the beef also had to do with Tara and the guy that we see later on the episode, so maybe, like, Darius doesn't feel like it's his space. Like, he feels like it's maybe more on Al's side, which I kind of thought might happen because it seems like Al is very, like, this is my, like, my money. I do this, and you're just kind of here for the ride.
He was for sure laid up like a king in that space. And then even later, we get Darius's comment of when Earn asked him, can I stay at your place? He's like, I don't know. You got to ask Al, which is weird because y'all both live here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's, like, a very strange vibe all the way around, which I... We'll get into it.
And was it in season one, if I remember, like, I feel like Darius was more in control of the house, like, of his living situation when Earn was trying
Darius
to live
frequently
with
had weapons ready to go. Like, he was at the very least, the protector of the house at that point.
He had more control, I guess.
I feel like Darius does more house chores.
Yeah. It almost comes off as Darius is, like, the butler, and Al is just, like, chilling.
Because every time we saw Al this episode, he never was off the couch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. No, he was definitely king of his castle. I feel like Darius is more of, like, a nester than like, in servitude. I feel like he just really likes having his space a certain way. He's all about, like, energy and flow of that stuff. So I'll be interested to see how that relationship evolves, because, again, right now they have, I don't want to say a common enemy, but the same target. You know what I mean? It's easy to pick on Earn. I think that eventually they're going to have to come back to their own disagreements and deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to the Florida man theory, which is maybe one of my favorite things to happen in Atlanta so far. Get it. I'm especially interested to hear people from the South's opinion on this.
Right. Well, because when they said Florida, it just felt something like, I mean, I don't know, like, it's a joke that everybody rags on Florida because Florida is trash.
It's the New Jersey of the
it's
South.
It's beautiful, but, like, it's trash. So there's actually a Twitter handle that I came across, like, months ago, probably even last year, called, like, @FloridaMan. And it's just, like, tweets of headlines, like, actual true headlines. The crazy shit that men in Florida do. And so the fact that they actually had a segment on Florida men, like, that's crazy because it's so accurate.
Yeah, I went to high school in Florida, and I was telling Joel about the high school I went to that they found, like, he got stabbed, thrown in the dumpster, and was found 2 days later. He was alive. He was just hanging out in there.
Cool.
But that was Florida.
I'm sorry, what?
That was a Florida thing. And the headline was, like, Florida man found stabbed in the dumpster. Yeah. And so that is just, like, I don't know what it is about Florida. I don't know if it's the water.
What is going on out there? Because, like, even when we heard about the bath salts craze that started in Florida, what is going on?
It's like a game whenever you hear a crazy story, you're like, Florida?
Yeah.
Yep.
I know this has got to be Florida.
I loved how they touched on that Florida tried to stop black people from registering to vote. I love when they hit stuff like that in the show.
Because it's, like, actual facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they called him.
But also true.
The alt-right Johnny
Appleseed.
Alt-right
Johnny Appleseed. If you think about the story of Johnny Appleseed, that's really interesting. Johnny Appleseed spreads his truth and then, like, food throughout the land of America and makes it prosperous. And basically, it's an apple. Everyone can pick it. Everyone can eat. Johnny Appleseed is, like, Dust Bowl era, early 1900s. So the idea that if we're reversing this and looking at it as, like, somebody spreading, like, fallacies and, like, corruption and hate throughout Florida... The idea that grew so much in Darius's mind is really interesting to me. I kind of hope I don't think we will because the show doesn't do a lot of revisits, but I wouldn't mind revisiting the Florida man thing, even if it was just in, like, a news kind of segment.
Yeah.
Because I find it very interesting.
You might get your wish just because this season is supposed to be more linear in terms of how they, you know, directed the episodes and the continuation from one episode to the next, so... We might get to see a lot of different references and revisits to different things.
Totally. I also have this wild theory that I'm still developing where I think that, not Earn, but Al and Darius are like Big Boy and Andre 3000. And that maybe this is just like a reimagining of their life and time together.
I'm not even mad at that.
To it later. I'm still doing some research on their early years.
Please.
But there's something there.
I support that.
Did you guys know Earn's last name was Marks? No. It gives probably me a whole twist to his like character because his name is Ernest Marks.
Yeah.
He's a guy just constantly trying to do good and failing miserably. I just really liked that we got that tip this week.
I feel like that was kind of hit in the episode too with Uncle Willie.
Totally. Absolutely.
Bless him.
You guys, I've never been arrested. I did not know that it cost so much to be arrested, and my soul hurts now. I'm like, going to be like three times more careful when I'm out in the streets. Yeah,
you get arrested, and then you also have to pay a fine.
And if you don't pay it, then you get arrested. Then,
or like you got a warrant or something. So, I can't pay this, though. Like, can I put a payment plan? Right. And you have to pay it in full, too, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, just take me back to jail, hell.
I mean, that's, she said that you could pay it before your class, but if you don't pay it before the class, you will be arrested. Right. So showing up to your class without the money does not get you good marks. It sounds like you're still going to be arrested.
When was the class? How much time did he have?
He had to go to three classes, I believe.
Like, how much time did he have before to pay that? Did it say?
I don't think they said.
No, they didn't.
Okay. They said it was 25.
But you have a short amount of time.
Yeah. She said payment plan.
Yeah. Yeah, but in total, he's going to have to pay $375.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, kind of insane. It's like this forever cycle of like not being able to win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So this is like the third place Ern has to go. And everywhere he goes, there's a very like cold reception to him. There's no kind of like familial love there. And this place is for sure the most cold. This woman had zero time for him and any kind of questions or anything. Yeah. Do you guys think that they're, because she's got to see a lot of, like, when I think about my job as a receptionist with like people who had a little bit of act right, like it was exhausting and awful, and like people could still be like just mean and ugly. So I imagine in her line where people's like literal freedom is on the line, like she's seeing frequently the worst, like the worst day people are having, or this is another in a long series of things that they can't afford to do, don't want to do. What was your interpretation of her character, and do you think that she should have been either more patient, or do you think this is an accurate representation of just what it's like to work in our legal system?
I think it's accurate, but also I think that she should also be more patient because, you know, you never know the type of day that people are having, and if they can't pay it, you don't know what that's probably doing to them mentally and emotionally. So I feel like she came up, well, she did come off very, like, rude and abrupt and just so crass. But that's how people are. That's how they are at the DMV. That's how they are at the police station. People just do, they genuinely do not care about what you're going through.
Give it, zero Fs. No. I felt the same way. I didn't want to cut you off. Did I cut you
no,
off?
No, I was done.
Okay. Okay. So I felt the same way. I feel like I felt like she was detached. And I understand that in that kind of a job, you do need to have a certain separation, because you're going to come across people where like, oh, see, like, I wish this wouldn't have happened to you. You are a good person, and your feelings get involved, and then you start considering, you know, well, what can I do to circumnavigate the system to help you out? So you don't want to get in that position. I understand her being detached, but at the same time, again, I feel like you can't paint everyone with the same paintbrush, because Ern's not a bad dude. And, you know, he's just trying to do what he has to do so he can get past this. And I feel like a little bit, like you said, a little bit of patience will go a long way. And it's just, I don't know. But again, we see throughout this episode that the tone is cold, detached at times. Like this, to me, I felt like this was a low-key dark episode. It still had a few highlights and funny moments, but ultimately, I felt like overall, this was a
very much so dark
episode.
Dark comedy, yeah.
And I think it's going to continue throughout this season. As you said, it's going to be more linear. And we're, you know, living in a new administration. So these is darker times for a lot of folks. So I think it's trying to match that.
America is so great right now. What you talking about?
Right. Ooh,
brother, cut it out.
I do want to say that I kind of want to stand up for Sis, because, like, well, I'm with Ern, and I feel for him. Like, it would be nice if you could have, like, one place where people weren't just kind of awful, mean, or dismissive of him. I also think that when people detach, it's usually for their own protection. Like I said, just going into this job day in, day out, and dealing with bullshit that she probably has to deal with, I imagine that this is her best way to get through her day. And whether that's the best way to do things or not, I couldn't say, but I felt for her a little bit, even for the small role that she had.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think on the one hand, you can't really know people's character from that, what, 10, 15 minute conversation you have in a parole office. And like to hear that when she was reading, you know, what he did, and he was like, it was half a joy. I think she has to detach herself from situations like that, especially as a black woman, because she's like, damn, like, they're trying to get y'all on something like that, like, she can't get emotional about it because it's, like, that's going to mess with your sanity. Not to mention, like, I can't even imagine how many people who are on the opposite side of that just coming in there, you know, BSing and making excuses and stuff, and she's just like, I'm tired of all y'all, like, just stop it.
There has to be, though, I feel like you do have to, like, you're still working for the government law, and you should still try to have people's best interest, and there's definitely some sort of programs that can, like, help fund. I'm sure, like, they're not easily accessible. That's why people get screwed over, but there are. And so I know it's like, I don't really want to judge your situation, but at the same time, half a joint, I would try to be like, okay, there's this option, this option, this option. But then again, I don't know the options, but I always think there should be something.
Yeah, this is no diss to state, you know, employees and government employees. But I feel like state employees and government employees and customer service is like oil and water. Like, they just don't really
mix.
They're
pretty rude.
Tink in the chat.
just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Tink in the chat said, I feel like she had a public defender attitude where she probably has so many cases that she was just trying to get through the meeting.
That's a good point.
I concur.
Yeah, but
it's like, don't go in.
But also still.
At, like, the same time, it's like
she was still mad room.
Don't go into that industry.
Like, I'm going to need you to tone that down. Yeah. Like, I'm going to need you to watch your tone and keep your hands on your head.
To change the subject entirely, what flavor are hot Cheetos?
Hot.
Hot.
It says it on the bag, which is what frustrates. Like, the seasonings are on the bag. And I know that because I eat them.
Okay, but wait. Okay, so then break down the seasonings. Yeah. I'm just going to say hot cheese.
I'm not going to break it down. Y'all could Google it or go look at
now,
her bag.
I know that they have different variations of hot Cheetos, like the tequila lime or whatever that is.
Well, maybe not anymore, but I have before.
Cheddar, fire.
Flaming hot with limon. That's my favorite. Yeah. With the lime.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I don't eat Cheetos. Get your life. Really fascinating.
Oh my god!
I feel like it's red food dye, cayenne pepper.
Definitely cayenne.
Definitely red food dye.
Paprika. Some other stuff. But yeah, it's on a bag.
I just feel like it's one of those questions, like, what flavor really is red Gatorade?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Or the blue slushy.
Or the blue slushy.
Taco Bell meat is not real.
But it's still delicious!
No, it's like 30% real meat, and the rest is fillers.
It is grade D meat, which is typically what we feed the dogs.
Fill your boy up with the taco.
Should do better for your body.
Doritos, Locos, tacos,
the vegetarian crunch wrap.
I'm really concerned.
Girl, why even go to Taco Bell to get a vegetarian?
Have you had the cinnamon balls?
No. You talking about the
The only thing I like at Taco Bell is the poutine.
You cannot.
Look what you started.
This is a mess.
Yes, I'm
12 pack. Because your boy is a fat boy all day.
So you know I get that too.
What is it? The what?
Let's just call them Cinnabon Delights.
That's what they're called.
Or like Cinnabon Delights or something like that. They're basically, they're mini balls, and inside, it's almost like, think like a hush puppy, but sweet. And it's got the...
inside, so like cream cheese or something?
It's right.
Cinnamon,
it's cinnamon sugar on the outside?
Woo! Yes. It's so fire, you
We're
guys.
We're going to have to bring some in for you guys one day so we can see the show.
I mean, coconut crunchos and some Cinnabon Delights, let's do it.
One of the things we always talk about loving about this show is the fact that comedy rubs right up against drama. And we get this in this Cheeto scene because Darius is sitting on top of the car and just looking at a dead body. Just the idea of death being so casual and not just death, but like murder is so casual and connected. Mm-mm. And something that they just spend time looking at is really interesting to me, to see how desensitized they have been to that kind of stuff. How did you guys... did the scene work for you? Were you, because it enters with the dead body and then we exit it with the sirens, with the police sirens.
I would say about death, it was really weird to me because I used to actually be a reporter. I was a hard news, reporter, whatever, general assignment. And I reported on a murder and I'd seen I see maybe two or so bodies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I noticed some of the other people that are around me who were also like around my age or whatever. And they were just so desensitized. Like it was kind of almost a rush to see a body. And I'm like, I don't want to become that, you know? So I had to stop. And whenever they were talking about Florida man and it was a white guy who walked into the car, there's a black person in there. He shot at it. Like I had to look down. I can't really take stuff like that anymore. Especially because when I was a reporter back in August 2014, when Mike Brown was shot. So I saw everything first, you know, be working in the newsroom. And then I saw it again on Twitter. And then my friends are talking about it. My alliances are talking about it. So it's just too much for me. So that's kind of why I had to get out of that line of work. And that's why I don't want to ever become desensitized to that kind of thing. So I understand being in that environment. And it's just like, well, another day, another dead body. But I, it's tough on me.
Yeah. What do you think, like, is happening? Like, How do we think people get desensitized to this? I know it's a repetition of seeing something, but also, like, what effects do you think that has on a person? Like, what's the difference between somebody who's like, I can't look at this, and somebody who's like, I'm real hyped to see this?
I think, like, because I grew up in a neighborhood a lot like the neighborhoods that we see on Atlanta, and I think when you almost have to be desensitized because it's like you start knowing these people, you know, and it's like if I have to go through the grieving process for every single person, I'm going to spend my entire existence in a constant state of grieving. So it's like you have to find some sort of coping mechanism, and whether that's body chasing or that's just kind of like turning, you know, the other cheek or whatever, you just have to do it because otherwise you're in this constant state of like, what the hell? I knew them. I knew her. I knew him. Like, and it's
so damn depressing.
Yeah.
Well, kind of going off that on a different side, I feel like it makes me see where the writing perspective is coming from and kind of where his comedy has developed. Mm-hmm. It's all the punchlines are kind of, a lot of the punchlines are like that dark humor, and you kind of see like it is like his lifestyle coming into full drama comedy, and it's really cool to see him be able to like conceptualize his life into a somehow funny but very serious way.
Totally.
What she said.
Before we leave this scene, Darius says something that's really disturbing to me. He says it's Robin season, Christmas approaches, and everyone has to eat or be eaten. What does Robin season at this point in the show mean to you guys?
Okay, before you guys answer that, you guys do know what Robin season really. I know you know. Not like you was out there making folks run it.
I did research, but now I know.
I'm not gonna front. I'll keep it all the way 100.
You're here. Just
I didn't even know what it was until I did the red carpet or the blue carpet. Basically, in December, that's when crime hits its highest for burglaries and robberies. Because Christmas is the holidays and you get it how you live.
I would say my parents, we have like a cellar in the back of our house that you didn't know it was behind the bush, so you didn't know unless you lived there, and that's where all of like the presents and any type of anything of value would go there when it was Robin season, because that's a very real thing. Like, people just bust up in your house, take your stuff, and that, you know, you're screwed out of Christmas. And like, that's not just like, it's not just presents too, it's like anything, food, like, it's wild.
Nintendo's.
Don't
take the
Wi-Fi.
TVs.
It's aggressive, man. Like, it's really, it's a
your
thing.
Your clothes.
Yes.
I'm just speaking from experience.
Your clothes.
Top Gun was my game at the time. I was really mad that they took
what
that.
What was
Top Gun on Nintendo.
No. That's a loss.
Okay.
Yeah. So, outside of the literal definition.
Okay. So, for me, it... No. Actually, ladies, you go first.
No, go ahead.
No, please.
I feel like it's just putting you into the scene of like where he wants you to see his city right now, and like kind of put you in more realistic, like this happens and our life still moves on.
I think it's not even necessarily a literal sense of like something's going to happen to him. I think it's like positions and like relationships. Like, that's what Robin season's going to go through. Like, I think, you know, we see him being a little insecure about his relationship with Al. So maybe someone's going to come in and almost rob his position, or
Tara,
you know, vice versa, or whatever. Like, I think it has a lot more to do with like the value of relationships and the value of worth in like their jobs and in their day to day life, rather than physical things. Yeah,
that was actually what I was going to say. So
it's air five
in a sense.
See, and you just said it so much more eloquently. So
it's also. The reason behind Robinson, as we've talked about, is desperation, which Earn is definitely in a desperate situation.
Yeah.
And so I think we'll see what need and going without creates, essentially. And we'll explore how you get up when you have nothing and no one supporting you.
Yeah.
Before we get into Uncle Will, who I'm super excited to talk about, I want to tell you guys about a new show here at AfterBuzz.
Oh, what is it?
If you guys want to have fun and you learn and grow in all areas of your life.
You know I do.
Life.
We have a podcast for you.
Say what?
Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos. Woo! And it drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. From health and wellness, you know Maria's up on that, to careers and relationships, she's literally the best. Finances and more, let our Maria be the big sister that you never had. Just go to iTunes, subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's free. You ain't got to pay anything. Be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know it was us who sent you. Guys, please let Maria know it was us that sent you.
Yes.
She's our boss, and we love her, and she's beautiful. But, you know, she could always love us more. So.
And we can get brownie points. We need those brownie points.
Make us look good.
Guys, I'm going to be honest. I tried to keep my nose out of anything spoilery for Atlanta. So I'm doing the read-ups. I'm reading, like, the interviews on the carpets and things. But I didn't want to know who was going to be showing up, when or where. So when Cat Williams just showed up in this episode, I kind of lost it. And for him to be, like, so the character we see on stage in this role, I was like, this is everything I've ever yes. wanted. Like, I really almost wanted, like, a full movie of just Will's, like, a veteran who's dealing with a lot of issues but also has an alligator in his house. Like, I have a lot alligator of questions. Man. It was amazing. What do you guys think of Kelly's ready to go. He's like, well, get me in there.
No, I was just going to say that, yeah, that definitely was something I didn't see coming. And right before I got here, I saw that Lakeith had tweeted, Cat Williams is a legend, and don't you forget it. And I was thinking, like, okay, and I liked it. I'm like, yeah, okay.
He's a legend.
All right, like, I'll rock with that. But I kept thinking, like, that was so random. And then we get introduced to Uncle Willie.
Yeah.
And then it made sense. And I thought, while we can agree that we did see some of Cat Williams' persona in his portrayal of Uncle Willie, I kind of felt like we saw a little bit different side, too. I could see that mm-hmm. Uncle Willie has some issues that he is still dealing with.
I mean, Cat Williams.
But please do play tell.
Have you been reading? Okay, just, if I'm not going to tell Cat Williams' business here. As my lovely host said before, you can Google it. But
oh, it's very Googleable.
Many run-ins with the cops at airports where you should not be bringing certain minors, things to the airport.
And Hazel E.
He's got this a ton true. Of children. Like, true. It's just, no shade to the man. He's a genius, but
I wasn't
also issues.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised to see him there because I know he's getting back out into the comedy world. Mm-hmm. He has a special right now on Netflix.
It's so funny.
I've watched it like twice. It's so funny. So it was pleasant seeing him there. I think he was great. He played the hell out of that role. You know what I mean?
I want to see
more. It's like watching
Willie.
Him play himself, but mm-hmm. you know, I liked it.
I think it was interesting. I feel like, am I the only one who feels like they have an Uncle Willie or like there's mm-hmm. one in their family? Like, I feel like it was an interesting take on Black veterans. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I was just like, when I was watching it, I was like, I know who you are.
Also an interesting take on Black masculinity within a family. I can't recall where I've seen it done this subtly and to this effect where like, I don't know about y'all, but my Black family members, like, we buck on each other a lot for, like, reasons that are ridiculous and stupid. So when he was like, I gotta ask the guy who owns this house, asked me to come here and check on you, I was like, those are hands.
Yeah.
Like, those are verbal hands being thrown. A fight could happen at any point after this point because you challenged his masculinity by letting him know, like, I know who owns this house. It's not yours. I'm not coming into your house. I'm coming into, like, Al's house. You don't have to go into your family drama, but do you see this? And did you like how it was portrayed here?
Yeah, I feel like it was so perfect for Earn right now, like where he is, and we see it with his like friends. He's kind of in this unknown if he's going to be replaceable or not. And I feel like it was cool watching him call out him, and then back and forth, and then him being like, "Don't have that chip on your shoulder. It's not worth the time." And then it was kind of like this full circle of you're like, "Oh, like that's actually happening to him." And then he didn't listen to him at the end, which I like because it's like in every other show they're like they give the lesson and then they instantly it's like, "Oh, it's magic. It all happened." But this is like real, and it's like it's going to take time.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because, I mean, that does happen between, you know, Black men and family. They spar with each other. They have, like, this argument or whatever. And then the oldest one gives, like, a little lesson or something, you know. Because you don't end up like me. Don't be like me, you know. So I'm like, oh, God, this is so common. So I definitely appreciated that. I can relate to it, yeah.
I can also relate, and I'm just leave it at that.
Okay, I respect that.
Real quick, so he lied. I'm just a real shameless little plug. I don't have an alligator, and I don't think I have that many issues to be a black brother. Just
go off. Shameless
little plug right
Snaps.
There.
That's a blessing.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even touch on the fact that he did, like, about the alligator.
We are not done yet. Before we get to the alligator, I do want to talk about his relationship with the woman. I definitely forgot to write down her name.
Oh, Yvonne.
Yvonne. Please do pray tell.
So close to my name.
Let's get into this. So, why Will thinks Yvonne stole $50 from him. What's interesting to me is that that essentially becomes the price of their relationship, right? Mm. We don't know much about them. It's clear they've probably been together in some capacity for a long time. Like, it's probably an old head from high school that he just keeps, like, circulating back to, is the vibe I got.
And so, the vibe in my book.
And there's definitely, like, some kind of love there. Now, it's not the great, frilly kind of romantic love, but it's like a we've been together long enough and I know who you are as a person, which is why I'm not calling the cops on you kind of BS. How do you guys... I guess what I'm most curious about is, do you think the relationship was worth $50? It's a terrible question to ask.
What relationship do they have? Like, there's no respect. There's no communication. There's no trust. There's no honesty. Like, who cares? Yeah, it's worth $25, actually. Like,
but that might be the only person checking in on him regularly, too.
Who?
Yvonne.
Well, yeah, she there. I mean, sure. Obviously, Uncle Willie doesn't have many people. You know what I mean? So that's kind of who he relies on. But it's just so damn dysfunctional. Yeah. So, you know.
It's definitely not, it's not worth a lot.
When she left and was like, he kidnapped me, I was like, oh.
She's like, he kidnapped me.
Well, because I think that she was, well, she did that obviously because he pissed her off. But also, at first, I'm not going to lie, I low-key was like, girl, you know you took that $50. But then I start to think that maybe she didn't. And then I thought it was really cool what Earn did. And then she gave him that money trying to just be like, look, like, I'm just trying to make the peace. And he still had to find the reason, like, oh, see, I knew you took. And she's like, okay, see, I'm done with you.
He doesn't really deserve Yvonne, so.
See, I don't know. I feel like a big, like, softy over here. But, like, I feel like if you, like, when you're pushing everyone away like that is when you kind of need people to cling tighter to you. And it's difficult, and nobody is responsible for another individual. Like, unless you have a child, you don't owe anybody anything beyond what you're capable of or what you feel comfortable doing. But I also feel it saddens me to see somebody push the people closest to them so far away, because he did the same thing to Earn. Like, when he came in the bedroom, he's like, look, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. You know, I even, like, I know I had one in the chamber, but you did something to my mom, which is actually... What do you guys think happened there? What do you think Will did to his mother?
I'm sure it was like a huge-ass fallout. I just don't know what it is, because we don't know enough about Uncle Willie to know what may have happened.
We barely know enough about Earn's mom,
That's what happened. We just know that he's not welcome back in his parents' house. So
it could be a number of things.
Yeah. He'd be stopping up their toes.
I think if anything, Uncle Willie, like, if we're going to explore that more, which I feel like we will, he needs, like, a psychiatrist or a therapist or something. I'm just not cool with saying that, you know, a black woman should do the emotional work for him.
I agree.
That's too much.
Speak on it.
You know what I mean? I would never say that Yvonne should stay and, like, be closer to him. She left. She shouldn't have said he kidnapped me if he really didn't, but you know, girl, leave.
He did lock her in a room.
He locked. Hello. That's how we were first introduced to Yvonne and Willie and their relationship. She was locked up.
Come like on. The alligator was locked up
next door.
Exactly. So, what do we think of Captain? And what does Captain represent to you guys? Like, because to me, I see, like, a caged up beast almost, like, not able to let out, like, either your inner self or being kind of kept up and inside. And then also, there being more fear than necessary. Everyone's like, he's got an alligator, shoot it, we're scared of it. He comes out, he just wants to lay down in the grass. Yeah. He's like, outside? Friggin' yes.
He was so cute, he just went and lay down.
I feel like he was kind of representing, like, black male emotion, you know, like, we think of, like, media constantly paints, like, the angry black man, the angry black woman, and, like, it's, like, almost this, you know, big bad wolf we think it is or whatever, and then you let it out and just come to find out, like, we're just sad, we're just chilling,
they just want,
you
know, a change of environment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just want something different. And so I felt like it kind of paralleled with Willie's whole, like, we saw him be big and bad in the beginning, and then when Earn and him kind of have that conversation and Earn, like, calls him out, we kind of see him just, like, crumble a little bit.
That's a good point, because I feel like even the cops were like, is he nice? Like, asking everyone, double-checking, and then... But I do have to comment on the music that Alligator walked out to, because that was such a good scene.
And if you think about the lyrics in Hey Love, which is essentially a song about, like, I know you're going through a lot of stuff, but I love you, and you're not alone. And so the, like, dichotomy of that situation just played really nicely, because it's a gangster-ass song. You've heard a ton of raps over it throughout the years. But the original song is all about just love and not being alone, which
it's
is
a beautiful song.
The exact opposite situation we find Ernan at the end of this episode. Ernan goes back to hang out with Al and them, sees some guy straight out of lockup who we don't know, don't care nothing about, chilling all up on this couch when y'all know he needs a place to sleep. Too.
Like, how are you laughing at my situation? I don't even know you. Yeah. Like, who are you?
Wanted to slap a bitch. I was like, this is some who ridiculous is stuff.
Exactly.
Well, not only that, but, like, so this dude who I never met, but I'm literally blood to you, Al. Cool to stay here, but nobody can even ask on my behalf if I can have a roof over my head tonight. Even though I did a lot to get you guys to the place where you are now.
To this new apartment, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And they know his situation.
Yeah.
And they let, like, I mean, it's cool to, like, goof on your friends, but, like, they know he's sensitive. And no, but at least, Darius just, they did check on him, but no one else did. Everyone just let him go.
I feel like there's a time to goof on your friends, and at my lowest point is not that moment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't have anything. I don't have any money. I owe a ton of money. Like, maybe right now is the time to be supportive and not dismissive. With that thought in mind, let's look at predictions for next week. Hmm. What do we think is...
I was like, where's the light?
The sounds. Now, you're after Buzz TV. Nice. What do we think is happening next week? What's going on with Ernan and the crew?
I think hopefully we get to see Van next week.
Mm-hmm. She better come back. I love Zazzy.
I missed her presence. But I think it's going to be kind of a continuation of where we're seeing this, like, lack of appreciation for Ernan and almost like this disdain for Ernan. I think it's going to carry over into their relationship, and we're just going to see, like, where they are currently in that dynamic.
Totes. I want to see that sweet baby.
Same.
Bring her back. She is precious and adorable.
Yeah.
Y'all already know how I feel about fathers. Like, I like to see Ern in his daddy role. Let's do it. Also curious to see if we get back into Al and Darius's, like, tiff, their issues, whatever it is. Because, like I said, they bopped over it for a minute, but it'll come back up. Mm-hmm.
Or it might.
Skip me.
I don't know exactly what's going to... I think we're definitely going to see more robberies. That will be exciting. You guys played it back twice. I feel like he has to get out of... We're still going to be in the house arrest. We're still going to be dealing with trying to get that $375 for his fine. So I feel like this is setting up the season, and it's... I think it will still be, like, a great episode, but another setup.
Okay. I can roll with that. For me, yeah, I agree. We're definitely laying the foundation. We're going to see a continuation. And I feel like we might even get to see them get put in a situation where they might have to rob somebody themselves. More so Ern than Al.
What is that?
Oh, it's a timer.
Oh, okay.
It means we're technically out of time, but we got a few minutes. So let's wrap up.
Okay, but yeah, probably more so Ern, given his situation. It seems like Al's a little bit comfortable. It seems like Darius is comfortable as well, but Darius is low-key a ride or die. So I feel like we'll get to see maybe Ern and Darius get into some, you know, nefarious activities.
Yeah. I believe that, too. I feel like they're not really above it, because we saw Al slap a promoter or whatever because he didn't have his money. So... You know, in the last season, but
that boy's gonna be
they're not above it. Yeah. Exactly. I think that Ern is going to get caught with the gum somehow. That's going to, like, screw up his everything, because his luck is just so terrible. You know what I mean? Like, I think, I understand, like, taking the gun from his uncle, but he shouldn't have it on him at all times, like, ever.
Traveling
that's
with it in the backpack is dumb as hell.
Yeah.
Because
so
that's the first thing they're going to check.
It's
what
so
is
dumb.
The first thing cops check if you're a black dude? And you
I
have
was
a backpack
surprised
on.
They didn't check his backpack when he walked out the house.
Yeah,
to be honest.
I thought that was going to happen.
I just knew that was going to screw him up. But anyway, we know that he's obviously not welcome back at his parents' house either, which we saw in the first season. So I feel eventually he's going to be able to, like, stay at Al's place. I don't know what it's going to take, but it's too many people in that house. We will see. Yeah, I do hope we see Van next week. I know you said that too, but I don't know how much we'll see her because she was shooting at the same time. Domino, right? I don't know what
but they're shooting in Atlanta, so they should be they should be adjacent.
Of course it is. I love Deadpool. Why did I not know that?
Yeah, so they should be adjacent.
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, how much will we see her this season too? So
she was in about half of last season, I would say.
Yeah,
roughly. So I'm hoping we get at maybe least that much because she was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Her teaching episode was just
but not seeing her in the first episode kind of that's what made me wonder like dang are we really gonna see
and
much
Juneteenth
of her?
was good too and I kind of the way Juneteenth ended I'm hoping that they're going to pick up on that same vibe so to speak.
Dope.
What
you got a last thought?
Oh yeah, I was gonna say I actually think maybe Aaron and is gonna end up staying with Willie and we're gonna see that relationship flourish and find out some stuff.
I ship that. Okay. Thank you guys so much for watching Alligator Man. We're back in Atlanta. Guys, starting with you, Drew, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on all the things at okay Drew J.
And you can find me on Twitter, Chaos J, KOOSJ, Instagram, Chaos _ Oceans 31, because I'm bringing you 31 flavors of waviness.
You can follow me on IG and Twitter at Steph Sabra.
Hey, again, it's Ivana Williams. You can follow me on Twitter, Ivana L. Williams, and on Instagram at Ivana.Williams.
Guys, Teron Von Garcia will be back soon. In the meantime, you can follow him at I Am Teron. I've been Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com and Monday, March 12th over at Heroes on Collider. Thanks for joining us. See you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.